people, would you stand, please, if you can?
Morning, church. Good morning, Lord. We come to you today to pay you homage, to thank you for all that you have given us, and to ask for the courage to follow your leadership here on earth. We acknowledge that you are the King of the universe, and that there is no power greater or more pure than yours. You came to earth to show us the way to live and how to achieve a place by your side in heaven. Please help us to spread the word of your goodness and the promise of your grace. Be with us as we are tempted towards the world system, and remind us to keep our eyes on the sparrow. Please help us to be worthy of Jesus, your Son's sacrifice, and to keep your name first in our hearts forever. We pray this to you, O Lord.
Now is the time to worship.
Raise your voices in worship and sing to the Lord on high. He who created the sun and the stars is entirely worthy of praise from all living beings. All honor and power are His, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, Borei Hakom, Chiasa Hakol V'Holam. Blessed are you, Lord our God, creator of the universe, who made everything and everyone. Responsive reading, brothers and sisters, Psalm 145, verses 1 through 5. It's okay. All right. I will exalt you, my God and King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell us of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. So Psalm 145 is a comprehensive poem of praise. It's an acrostic prayer. An acrostic poem is one in which the first letter of each verse speaks out a word, a name, or simply the letters of the alphabet. This one, the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It's the only psalm with the superscript Tehillah LeDavid, David, a song of praise of David. David's words convey that he, even though God's chosen king, is completely subservient to the Lord our God. He names God as God and praises him profusely. Verses 1 and 2 is the call to praise. The rest of the song offers four key reasons to praise the Lord, and then concludes with a renewal of the call to praise.
We're going to make you a Hebrew scholar.
Figure out
words and the letters and everything, and no bueno.
You did well. Hebrew is tough. Believe me, I know. It's tough.
Well, it's God's promise that he gave us beer. Hebrews.
Strike that from the record, okay? Strike that from the record. Listen, what you just engaged in is worship, right? And worship is important, although in the Church of North America and also especially here in the Northeast, worship is almost meaningless. When I say that is, most times people don't come out on Sundays. And that's unfortunate. But what you just did was worship, and you sang. And we read scripture. This is all important. See, the psalmist also says, magnify the name of the Lord. You know what magnify is, right? Magnify it. We're supposed to be singing, reading scripture publicly with the emphasis on magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to look closely at this today. But before we do that, a couple of things I want to mention. Is there a choir tomorrow? All right, so choir. Anybody visiting from out of town, you only have to come once a week, okay? But it will be 7 o'clock tomorrow, and the Christmas cantata will be here before you know it. So come and be a part of it. It's always a great time. I think we learn more than everybody else, but it's wonderful. Also, as we go into prayer today, I want us to lift up Sharon's brother, David. He's been having a tough time. He has a resurgence of Legionnaire's disease and compounded with double pneumonia. So he's in the hospital. He's getting treatment. According to Sharon, he's sounding better today, but still not out of the woods. All right, so we want to lift him up in prayer. Want to lift Tommy up in prayer as he's down at Lacey Day. And he's like the mayor of Lacey, so he knows everybody. But pray that God would use this to let people know that Jesus is alive and well. All right. So I'm going to ask for a couple of people to help with the offering. We got Butch and the good doctor. Yeah, I underline good. Let's pray. Father, how great it is to hear voices united. To hear voices not talking about politics, but talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Telling him how great he is, how holy, how wonderful. Ascribing to him the praise and honor only he deserves. And so, Father, as we unite together in worship, we understand that the support of the church that Jesus ordained is vital. Help us to be a place of worship, not performance, but of worship. Help us to be a place where the Word of God and the Spirit of God is allowed to come into our hearts and transform us from the inside out into the image of Jesus Christ. Help us to be a place where hurts can be healed, where hope can replace hopelessness. Help us to be a place, Father, where we are united not only by the Holy Spirit, but in love. And Father, I pray as we pray for those who are suffering, I think particularly of Sharon's brother. Bring healing to those lungs, Father. clear the lungs up, especially from the Legionnaires and the pneumonia. Be with him in the hospital. Encourage his spirit. And we pray for better health. Father, I thank you for those who are giving, those who are supporting the kingdom. Help us to do it voluntarily. Help us to do it sacrificially. And help us to do it with love for you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I love all sorts of music. But I love music. And you can't read the Bible without seeing that worship, which includes music. It's not just music, but includes music, is something very important for God and for us. One of the things I appreciate about it is if you ever took a music course, and Sharon, you can correct me if I'm wrong, music is known as the universal language. Mary Lou and I went to a Korean church on a Sunday afternoon. It was a great experience, by the way. We were the only ones that spoke English. And wonderful experience. They welcomed us like family, which is the way it ought to be, right? And great worship service. Great hymns in Korean. Great is thy faithfulness. Holy, holy, holy. I mean, in Korean, the only words we understood was amen. Right? But the sense of the presence of God was there. And this is what one of the things worship is designed for. We cannot fully take part of all the privileges of worship without coming together corporately. There's something about many voices joined together in praise, isn't there? Years ago when we used to do the retreats down at Harvey Cedars for both the men and the women, in the heyday, you'll never get this turnout now, but in the heyday, when there used to be 500 men and 500 women coming out, and we entered into worship, you would thought the skies opened and heaven, the choir, was there. There is something about worship. And the reason why it's so important is because God says it's important. Old Testament, God called Israel to go to battle sometimes for his holy reasons. And when they went to battle, you know who was first to go out? Not the army, the choir. The choir, always first to go out. And you may say, well, why is that? Well, because they were facing, battling an enemy who rejected God. And not only the physical warfare, but the spiritual warfare was intense. And worship gave the assurance that God is still in control. Worship gives the assurance that deliverance can only come from God. Worship gave the warriors, as well as the choir, the opportunity to say, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's perfectly holy. We're not. He's all powerful. We're not. And if we're going to win this battle, he needs to fight it for us. When we don't come to church on Sundays, we lose that. We lose that perspective. And we need it desperately. Now, the other thing about worship is simply, it's good news. I hate turning the news on these days. I have to stay informed. But it's good news. Why is it good news? Because worship reminds me that God is alive. And worship reminds me that his purpose will be accomplished whether we are in it or not. And that gives me great hope because I know, did you ever see a bus out of control, right? You know, God forbid a bus driver has a health emergency and loses control of the bus. We've seen this a couple of times now, even on the news. You know, a student jumps in and stops the bus, fortunately. Sometimes life can beat us up so we feel, who's in control? Well, I'm proud to report Jesus is still driving the bus. This part of Revelation. In fact, I don't know what your experience has been in Revelation. Not many people preach on it. Not many people teach on it. And when they do, they teach for the wrong reasons. This has nothing to do with pinning down a date when Jesus is coming back, although we know he's coming back. But the date is none of our business because it shouldn't make a difference in how we live. We ought to live as if he's coming back today. We ought to sing as if he's coming back today. We ought to keep on being discipled as if he was coming back today because Scripture says, be found doing his will. Be found ready. So John, in this amazing worship service, is encouraged graciously by God, who opens up a door to let him in on a Sunday morning to a cosmic worship service. I want to suggest to you that every Sunday when we come to worship corporately, God opens the door for us. And our worship joins the hosts of heaven. It joins all creation. It joins the angels as they worship before the throne, as they worship before the Lamb that was slain, as they worship before the seven spirits, which is the Holy Spirit. See, worship is very much Trinity. And so let's take a look at this service. I could not write a better worship service than God does, right? So are you ready? Here we go. We'll pick it apart a little bit. John says, after this, I looked. After what? After writing down the seven letters to the seven churches that Jesus wanted those letters to circulate to. He says, there before me was a door standing open in heaven. Can you imagine that? There are times in worship where if I submit myself to God and his presence and the love of the Savior, the great salvation that the Savior won for me, I don't deserve it. It's as if a door in heaven opens up and I catch a glimpse of a perfect worship service. And the voice I first heard, speaking to me like a trumpet. That's from Revelation 1, by the way. The voice says, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. What the worship service is doing here is introducing what must happen in the end times. They're worshiping. They're not saying, woe's me. They're worshiping because they know God's in control. Because whatever God does as judgment in the end times, is perfectly deserved. There will be a day of judgment for unrepentant sinners who don't embrace Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Come up here. I believe this is Jesus' voice, by the way. And I will show you what must take place after this. Now, the one thing about Revelation is this. Well, this worship service. And I'm going to reiterate this. Every worship service, although some become concerts, some become advertisement to sell a book, some become other things that it's not supposed to be. Every worship service on this earth and in heaven has one centerpiece, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. He needs to be the centerpiece of our worship. Look at what this says. At once I was in the Spirit. Isn't that great? When we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit and we put ourselves under His authority, not our will, but His, everything else disappears. And there before me was a throne and someone sitting on it. This was a glorious vision. Now, I have to tell you, there has been a couple of times I've actually dreamt this scene. It was one of those dreams where I didn't want to wake up. This is a magnificent scene. The other thing to realize is that worship is always Trinitarian. God the Father is involved, God the Son is involved, and God the Holy Spirit is involved. And that's when worship happens. It says, and the one who sat there had an appearance like jasper and ruby, a rainbow that shone like emerald around the throne. This is talking about God the Father sitting on the throne in all his glory, right? Jasper and ruby were a couple of the stones that the priest had in the ephod in the Old Testament, but brilliant, brilliant stones. And a rainbow shone like emerald encircled the throne. This is a picture of a rainbow that completely encircled the throne. Not a half circle, but encircled the throne. This was a beautiful sight, right? Emerald is a precious gem. Am I correct in that? Okay. And just think of the magnificence of this. We're in a storefront. I've had people come in here and say, I can't worship here. I'm saying, why not? Well, it doesn't have stained glass. It's a store. It's not a church. Let me give you a clue. John was on a desert island in exile at 90 years old and made it to worship service. Not because of anything else. He just simply wanted to worship his Lord and Savior, the Father. Unfortunately, this culture has corrupted the symbol of the rainbow. The rainbow was a symbol of God's covenant with his people. And this is a reminder how much God loves his people and doesn't want any of them to be destroyed, but by faith and repentance to come to him. I just want you to get this. And you're a part of this. If you come to worship in spirit and truth on Sunday, we need to embrace this, because this is not just another Sunday. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and crowns of gold on their heads. Now, if you want to know exactly who these 24 are, no one really knows. Oh, Pastor, I know. No, you don't. We can take a couple of good guesses. We'll only know if we're right when we get there. I'll give you my best guess, and I could be wrong. All I know is this. This I can be sure of. This is going to be a glorious sight. 24 elders sitting around the throne. I think, my opinion, I'll stand corrected if I'm wrong, I think this represents the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles, which then represents the total people of God. Now, there's other theories, and they're just theories, and you're welcome to look at those, but this had to be an incredible sight. Excuse me. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. You know what that means? That means they've overcome. That means because of their faith in Christ, they're white as snow, pure. And they're victors and rulers. Doesn't it say that we're going to rule with Christ? I mean, this is an incredible sight. Who is the audience when we worship? Who is the audience? God. God, Jesus. They're the audience. We do worship because of him. Right? So here they are. Here's the rulers, the 24 rulers, and they're around a throne, and what are they doing? They're not sitting at a desk and making decisions, or they're not debating over which songs are good or, you know, which instruments are good. There's none of that. They're here to celebrate. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Okay, this is bizarre language, right? But it's necessary. This is the language of what we call end times writing or apocryphic writing. A lot of symbols. This worship service is before the battle. Remember I said to you the choir gets sent out? This is before the battle. What battle's coming up? The battle between God and Satan. And this is to say judgment's coming. Not any judgment, but God's holy judgment. Because anything that God judges is right. He cannot do the wrong thing. He says, in front of the throne, seven lampstands were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Now here's the Holy Spirit in all his perfection. So you got Father, Son, and Holy Spirit represented here. And what was going on here, this is all preparation to, in this worship service, ascribe to God his worth, his holiness, his honor. If you've ever been in court and you stood before a judge, how are you required to address the judge? Your honor. Your honor. Worship always takes place before the judge of the universe. Always takes place before the creator of the universe. And it is right that we give him honor and praise. Do you realize preparation for worship doesn't start 7 o'clock Sunday morning? Preparation for worship, I mean biblical preparation for worship, starts Sunday night. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, listen to me. Because we all face Monday, don't we? And when we worship individually on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we read the word, we meditate on the word, we see how God works through the week in spite of us sometimes. And when we review the week and we see God's hand, what should overtake us is nothing but thanksgiving and an overflow of praise that we come together Sunday morning and raise the roof to honor God the Father and God the Son. We missed worship. We really do. You know what worship means? The word in the original language means to serve. When we serve God, we serve Him to glorify Him, not us. We serve Him to announce Him to everybody who needs to know Christ. So here, this is the setting now, all right? And it says, in the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. This is another kind of mystery. Who were the four living creatures with this bizarre description? I read 10 theories on this, and I only agree with one of them, and I'm probably wrong. But I really believe this description coincides with descriptions of angels that we see in Ezekiel and Isaiah. So you have the people of God around the throne, and around the throne you also have these four living creatures who knew a lot, see a lot, not only in front, but in back, excuse me. And you might say to me, this is a bizarre description. Well, yeah, it is, but bear in mind, we're still here on earth. But when we see this firsthand, this is going to be beautiful. It's going to be beautiful. So, looks to me that the elders were involved. The angels are involved to some extent. And please, when you leave here, don't get stuck on this stuff as far as who the creatures are. I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter. The reason why it doesn't matter is because the centerpiece of worship is Jesus Christ, and they're worshiping Him. And they're trying to lead us into worship. There you go. The first living creature was like a lion. I've read accounts on this too. Nobody got it right. Because I have no idea, I'll be very honest. I wouldn't venture to say what these were. But the first living creature looked like a lion. Didn't say was a lion. Looked like. The second was like an ox. I've been called that a few times. The third had a face like a man. And the fourth was like a flying eagle. I've read interpretations of this, like these represent the four gospel writers. These represent the tribes. I don't know. All I know is that these living creatures looked strange, but are not. And they're worshiping the Creator. Each of the four creatures had six wings. I mean, this is right out of Ezekiel, really. And was covered with eyes all around and under its wings, day and night, never stopped saying, I love this. Are you ready? Read it with me. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. In the Hebrew, this reads Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. That's Hebrew for holy. And in the Hebrew language, repetition three times means there's nothing more holy. They're proclaiming that God is perfectly holy before His throne. You know what before His throne really means? It means we're submitting to His authority. We're submitting to His rule. We're submitting and we're saying we're the creature. He's the Creator. Sometimes we think we're the Creator. It was kind of Job's problem, by the way, when God said, where were you, Job, when I created the stars? Holy, 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 perfectly holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and is to come. Let me tell you something. When we get a glimpse into heaven and we worship and the holiness of God comes out, there's only one response, and that is to fall down on our faces, because we're not holy. And it's only because of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice on the cross that we can face a holy God. And he goes on to say, whenever the living creatures give, listen to this, give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever. They gave glory, honor, and thanks. Those words ought to be part of our lifestyles and everything we do. Giving God glory. It's all about him. It's not about me. Honor. Yes, Your Honor. You're right, Your Honor. I need to listen to you. And thanks to him who sits on the throne. A couple of weeks ago, I did a message that's related to this, and it says, are we listening and are we obeying? You remember in the letters, the sentences, he who has ears, let him hear what Christ has said to the church. Yes, Your Honor, I'm listening. I'll obey because I want to give you glory, honor, and thanks. Best worship that we can give God is our sacrifice of praise. The 24 elders fell down before him. Remember I said, listen, God's holiness should bring us down to our faces and worship. Whose lives are forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne. This is a great scene. The 24 elders had crowns because, again, they were victors through Jesus Christ. And any rewards we get, we don't deserve. I want to be very clear about that. That's another topic. But in worship, we give our best back to God. The crowns. That's how we worship. We give back to God. That's one of the reasons why giving is an act of worship. Some churches don't take an offering. They have a box. I'm more comfortable with giving an offering during the service. And I don't care how much it is or anything like that, but giving is an act of worship. And it also shows sacrifice. Giving needs to be sacrificial, voluntary, and needs to show our love for God. After all, it all belongs to him. Everything you and I have belongs to him. And the minimum, he says, we should worship with is a tenth. Okay. We go out to a restaurant, we give 15-20% tip. The government takes 30%. Render to Caesar what's due Caesar's. Render to God what's due God's. Realize God allows us to keep 90%. Talk about a tax cut. They layer the crowns. Look what happens. This is great. Here's what they said. You are worthy, should underline that. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sits on the throne, a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. These are the bowls and the judgments that will happen in the end times. A couple of things to notice here. The right hand of him who sits on the throne, that's God the Father. And the right hand is a symbol of authority, right? And writing on both sides to the point where there was no more room to write. Everything that was going to be revealed is complete in those scrolls. And many times in a couple of places, I think twice in the Old Testament and once at the end of Revelation, is a warning. Warning from God. No one should add or subtract from the words of Scripture. It's all there. It's all complete. Seven, by the way, is a symbol of completeness. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice. The translation doesn't do it justice. When it says, I see a mighty angel proclaiming, the word in the original language means it was heard throughout the whole universe. This wasn't like me on a microphone. The whole universe heard this. Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. And John says, I wept and wept because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look inside. This had to be a very difficult time for John. But I love this. Then one of the elders said to me, don't weep. See the Lion of Judah, Jesus, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Then I saw a lamb looking as if he had been slain, standing at the center of the throne. This is the person and work of Jesus Christ. He was slain for what? My sin. To pay the penalty I could never repay. Slain for your sin. And now he becomes the centerpiece of the worship. Encircled by four living creatures and the elders, the lamb had seven horns, meaning perfect power, seven eyes, meaning all-knowing, and the seven spirits of God, who's the Holy Spirit, who was sent out into all the earth. Isn't this a picture of the gospel? We have a lot of work to do in God's power, right? And then he goes on, he says, he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him, the Father, who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Now listen, I know it's difficult for us even to sit or stand sometimes for physical reasons. I understand that. But the posture of our heart in worship ought to be falling down in the sight of a holy God. And a God who deserves our honor and praise. Each one had a harp. They held golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. During the service, we prayed, right? These prayers go to heaven. If you think God doesn't care, you're sadly mistaken. These prayers go up to heaven, right? And they sang a new song. You should underline that. A new song. There's nothing wrong with new songs. There's nothing wrong with good hymns. But there's also nothing wrong with a new song if it is theologically correct and if it glorifies and honors God. Here's what they were saying. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals because you were slain, and with your blood... Here's the gospel, by the way. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe, language, people, and nation. That means the gospel was not just for the Jews. Started with the Jews, but it was meant for the whole world. That means the death of Jesus Christ and the benefits of his death are available to the whole world through faith alone. And what he did for us. And with your blood, that cleansing blood, you purchased, cost Jesus' life. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Persons from every tribe, language, and people and nation. You see, in the kingdom of God, there's no room for discrimination. There is no room for anti-Semitism. There is no room for hating other nationalities or nations. There's no room for that, because people from every tribe will be saved by faith if they embrace Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? I mean, I think about heaven a lot. Some people will be worshiping in their native tongues. Can you imagine? And it all makes sense. All makes sense. People of every color. It'll be an incredible sight. People with hair, people without hair. People who want hair, right? I mean, it's going to be an incredible sight. And this is what Jesus does for us when we accept him. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to what? Serve. Should underline that too. To serve our God. They will reign the earth. For those of you who are born again believers, you will have a place of governance when Jesus comes back again. I can't imagine that. I have a hard enough time managing my life in a church, right? But we will, and we'll be worshiping him. Then I looked, and I heard the voices of many angels. You know what a crescendo is? Crescendo is when volume gradually gets louder. This is what's happening in this worship service. We're near the end of the worship service. It says, and then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, 10,000s upon 10,000s. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and in a loud voice, notice that singular, doesn't say in loud voices, in a loud voice, because Christ unites us. And he says, and they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb who pray, to the Lamb be praise, honor, and glory and power forever and ever. And the four living creatures said what? Amen. Let it be. Now, typically when we say amen, it means the service is over. But look at what happens here. The elders fell down and what? They continued to worship. But Pastor, your 25 minutes are up. I had a very dear friend, a pastor, years ago, who had boys, and well, actually, he had four children, all Eagles fans, right? They can be forgiven for that. But all Eagles fans, and we get down near 12 o'clock. We end at 11:30 because we start early. We get down 12 o'clock, and you see the kids in the back row looking at their watches and doing this to their father as he's preaching. It's true. You remember that, Ann? I don't know if you were there then. Jim Camlin. No, okay. Great guy, he and Denise. And, I mean, they would say, hey, Dad, time's up. We got to get out of here. Sometimes I fear and they're kids. I mean, I'm not criticizing. But sometimes I fear we treat God like that. Lord, my stomach's rumbling here. Lord, you know, the Giants come out. Excuse me, Sharon. Giants come out at 1 o'clock. You know, we got to be careful. I want to suggest to you, and I'll speak personally for me, Sunday is very special for me, not because I'm a pastor. Ever since since God got a hold of me and I received Christ, I don't like to miss church, whether I'm the pastor or not. That's how special it is. It's a time where God and the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit can do incredible things that we can't even imagine if we let him. We have to raise beyond the excuses. We need to recover the sacredness of church. We need to recover the sacredness of Sunday. And we need to recover the sacredness of a holy God who knows what's good for us and what's not good for us. And coming to church is good for us. I'm going to ask Kristen and Sharon and Chipper. Chipper, I have to run out right after the last song. I'll close in prayer. I'm sorry I can't stay and visit, but here's the instructions for the last song. When we leave here, or when we get together, if at some point we're not awed by Jesus Christ and his love and his grace, his holiness, then we missed worship. Chip? You came out today because you blessed my heart. And when the center of all our worship has to be and should always be the Lord Jesus Christ. So we give him the glory and the honor. Let's pray. Father, to think that because of what you did for us on the cross, we have access to cosmic worship. We rejoice with the whole universe because of who you are. And because you won our salvation for us, sinners, saved by grace. Thank you for this time together. I thank you for our guests today. And I thank you, Father, for all you do. I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
All right, God bless everybody. I got to run.